Mid-mornings with Lee Chambers.
Guest Chris Carr from the Hearing Healthcare Centre in Chesterton is sitting in front of me. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Hearing Healthcare Centre. I know you're a regular guest on this show, but for those who missed your last appearance.
Well, I took over the business from an existing business in Cambridge in Bridge Street in January 83. We initially moved the business to Mill Road, and then in 1996 we moved to Chesterton in the High Street, where we are today. The business has been going for over 50 years in Cambridge, so it's a well-established family business. I have my wife and my stepson who's working with me, and we're shortly going to be taking on two more audiologists to help expand the business somewhat and take some of the strain off my work, which is obviously the major part of seeing clients and discussing all the requirements that they need.
So you deal with people who have any kind of hearing-related problems?
That's right, yes. We look at hearing loss, we look at tinnitus, we look at ear protection and advise people on that, swim plugs and all sorts of ear-related requirements that anyone might have.
And you're the audiologist, so you do the hearing tests?
That's right, yes. I was first involved in this business in 1970 and qualified in 73, and have trained several other staff over the years to qualify. They've moved on, but that's the way things go.
And we're here today to talk about tinnitus. So what is tinnitus?
Well, tinnitus is any sort of sound that is perceived in a person's ears or head which isn't externally audible. In other words, like the aircraft just going past is external. It might be that noise that you're actually hearing, but nobody else is hearing it, and you're hearing it either in one or the other ears, or it might be central, so it seems to be in your head. And it can comprise of any sorts of sound: ticking, buzzing, hissing, rumbling sounds, high-pitched, low-pitched. So it can be anything like that, but it's particularly anything that's there on a permanent basis. Most people, I should imagine most of our listeners today, will have experienced some form of tinnitus that's lasted a minute or two and then disappears. So that is a form of tinnitus, but it's nothing that is causing any problems because it disappears. Typically, it would be something you would experience after a loud exposure to noise, such as a concert or firing rifles, that sort of thing, or working in a noisy engineering firm without ear protection. And at the end of the day, you might find that your hearing is somewhat dull and you're getting a ringing or buzzing noise in the ears, which might dissipate after a few hours. Or when you wake up in the morning, it's cleared.
But with people who have tinnitus, it's there all the time.
That's correct, yes.
Does it come and go? Is it loud sometimes?
It can vary, and it can be pulsatory. And if it is pulsating, then it's something that needs to be looked at medically because it might be related to blood pressure situation. So in that situation, it's certainly worth seeking advice from medical help. But where it's a more continuous noise, then there's unfortunately at the moment no actual cure for the problem. But there's lots of treatment that can be used to help manage it, which is the important thing. Understanding the problem, I think, is half of the battle. Unfortunately, in many clients that I've seen, they've been to their GP and been told, well, you've just got to learn to live with it, which is a little unfortunate because it doesn't offer them any solution or any help. But there are lots of things that can be done to assist and manage the situation. Even just understanding it makes a big difference for people.
Let's talk about understanding it. What does cause it? Why do some people get it and others not?
It's something which, again, it's one of those things that nobody is actually pinned down as to what actually causes it. In some cases, it can be part of the cochlear malfunction. The hair cells in the cochlea, when they're damaged, can cause firing of nerve endings, which translate into sound in the ear on that side, or it may be just something else that's going on centrally that's creating a sound. In a sense, it's a little bit like circuit noise in an amplifier. Our hearing mechanism, or all our nervous system, is a form of electrical circuitry which creates a noise in itself, but it's suppressed by the brain. If you went into a soundproof booth, 80 or 90% of people who are put in a soundproof booth will come out saying they heard sounds that they wouldn't otherwise hear because there's no other external noise to mask it. And so you hear your breathing, you hear your pulse, and you can sometimes hear hissing sound of just the noise of your ears working. And rather like somebody who's had a limb amputated, they will still feel that limb. The brain is wired so that it's expecting information from that source. And if it's not getting it, it winds up the system to try and receive information. So this often is associated with hearing loss, where the hair cells in the cochlea have been damaged and are no longer sending as much information to the brain. The system jacks up the volume, if you like, so that you're actually hearing the circuit noise, which is the noise that we describe as tinnitus. If it is associated with a hearing loss, then very often using hearing aids can be the total solution in many cases. A lot of my clients with hearing aids, when I ask them if they have tinnitus, will say, well, yes, but it doesn't bother me and I don't notice it when I'm using the hearing aid.
So, how common is it then?
It's very common, and it's not just an age-related thing. There's actually quite a large number of children that have been discovered with tinnitus. Very often they aren't even aware of it because it's something that they've grown up with, and it's only when the discussion about tinnitus comes up that they realise, oh yes, I've got it. But it's not something that they bother about because they consider it to be like everyday background noise. So it doesn't impede the majority of people. And in the cases where it may be significant for the person suffering from the condition, when you actually subjectively measure the sound level that they're listening to, which is done by measuring the quietest sound that you can produce for that person to hear, and then turning the volume of the sound up until they no longer hear the tinnitus but can only hear the sound you're producing, it's usually no more than 10 decibels. And when you consider that 1 decibel is the smallest increment that a normal hear can just notice the difference, it's a very small amount. One way of perhaps describing it is if you go into a darkened room with a candle, that's all you see, and people can focus on that. But if you switch the light on, the candle is still there, but you don't notice it so much. And it depends very much psychologically on how that individual reacts to the sound in their ears or their head, as to how noisy that sound is, or how important it is and how it affects them emotionally. Another description is if you hear a car alarm, most people ignore car alarms, but if it happens to be your car alarm, it suddenly becomes a very important and emotional thing until you discover what's going on. And in a sense, when you suddenly get tinnitus or a noise in your head, some people will react very significantly to that, and they can't focus on anything else, and that's when it becomes a problem.
And does it get worse over time? Is it one of those things that can deteriorate?
No. In actual fact, in the vast majority of cases, it naturally habituates to being less noticeable. As I say, it's very much how that individual reacts to it emotionally. And if they latch onto it and become very emotionally involved, then it becomes very difficult to ignore it. The treatment is very much one of help to understand what the problem is in the first place, so they can then learn more about managing it, and also help with what we call sound enrichment, which is basically using pleasant sounds as distraction from the noise they're listening to, either something that you can use like a radio or a sound generator in the room that you're in, or something that you can wear that can generate pleasant sounds that are distracting, if you like.
So they mask the noise of the...
It's not intended to mask, no, because that's actually counterproductive, because when you turn it off, it then becomes much more noticeable. What you're trying to do is reduce its intensity. As I say, a bit like going into a darkened room with a candle and switching the light on, the candle's still there, but there's a lot more to look at. So that's really what the process is, to try and help.
So if somebody comes to you with tinnitus, what would you do? You would weigh up what the severity and how they're dealing with it, and
yes,
before you suggested.
That's right. We'd test their hearing. We'd find out a little bit more about their background, when it started. If it's something that came on very suddenly and that person's just come in as a result, it's certainly something that needs to be looked at first of all medically, because there's a very, very small chance that it might be something important that needs to be looked at, particularly if it's one side. And that goes for sudden loss of hearing as well. It's a referable condition that needs to be looked at and treated as an emergency. The vast majority of cases, it's just something that happens. There's nothing medically wrong. It just needs to be managed. And that's where I come in, if you like, enabling people to understand what's going on, offering them help and advice, and pointing them into directions like, for instance, the British Tinnitus Association, where there are like sufferers who can help and discuss their own experiences. Very often these people feel very isolated because it's the only time they've experienced something like that. And if they haven't been offered any help from the doctor, just been told, well, you've just got to go away and learn to live with it, it can be very troublesome for them. So meeting other people with similar experiences and how they've managed it can be very helpful.
So you mentioned distraction there as one of the ways of managing it. What are the other techniques that you might advise people to
do? If they do have a significant hearing loss associated with it, then obviously using hearing aids can do two positive things. One is to bring in natural environmental sound, which will help to reduce the noise that they're experiencing. The other is it relieves a lot of the effort involved in listening to conversation. And stress is one of the things that will wind up the noise in your ears if you've got nothing else to think of. So you do two positive things by introducing amplification. And that is, as I say, introducing natural masking, if you like, natural enrichment, and improving their ability to follow conversation easily without having to strain.
Do you find, though, that younger people are less willing to take that route?
Actually, what we're finding is more of the younger people are interested in protecting their hearing, sometimes after they've got tinnitus, but they're not really bothered by the tinnitus, but they're bothered about it getting worse by exposing themselves to more noise. So they've already got a small amount of tinnitus as a result of having some damage done, for instance, DJs in these discotheques and so on. And so we provide them with specialised ear protection to reduce the potential of getting further damage done. So it's probably the tinnitus that's triggered their need to come to me, because obviously they don't want that to get any worse, and they may have a very slight hearing loss as a result, but not enough to need hearing amplification.
So the options really are either more protection, a hearing aid, or the distraction.
Yes, depending on the hearing levels. And so obviously, as I say, protection is the first thing. If you're going to expose yourself to loud noise for long periods of time, then it's sensible to use ear protection or turn the volume down.
And there's no cure yet?
No, there's been tremendous amount of research over many, many years. I remember back in the 70s when I started, there was a surgeon, Jonathan Hazel, who ran a nationwide survey using what was then called tinnitus maskers, where the idea was to mask the tinnitus. He's now retired, and there are several research work going on for many, many years now in all countries into the cause of tinnitus and the possible cure for tinnitus. But because there are perhaps several sites where the tinnitus can be generated, and it's very much tied up with the emotional reaction to that, it's not easy to pinpoint an easy solution. But there are different systems that are being used to help with getting the individual to be able to manage and cope with the situation.
And how would you know if you've got tinnitus? Because you say if you've grown up with it, or if it's just kind of come upon you gradually, how would you know that you're not hearing the range of noises that perhaps other people are?
Well, as I say, in many cases where the person isn't aware that they've got tinnitus, it's not a problem. And in the vast majority of people who realise they've got tinnitus, it's not a problem because they've learnt to adapt to it in just the same way that if you move to a new home where there was perhaps a major road nearby or a railway nearby, initially you notice it, but within a few days you forget that it's there. It's only visitors that, you know, notice it and comment on it. So the vast majority of people who find that they have got tinnitus, it's not a problem. But it's those people who are finding it more of a problem to deal with. And in many cases, it's those people who are emotionally affected that are the ones that need to be helped and given advice and means by which they can perhaps modify the sounds.
So if people want to find out more about the Hearing Healthcare Centre, where should they go?
Well, they can phone us on 01223 360 700, or they can contact us on our website, which is www.hearinghealthcarecentre.co.uk. or they can email me at chris@hearinghealthcarecentre.co.uk.
Well, thank you very much for coming in, Chris. Next time you can come in, we're going to talk about ear protection.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll see you in a month or so then.
Okay.